At the top of our program, General Motors officials continue efforts to navigate the fallout from its delayed recall of 1.6 million defective vehicles. The flaw with an ignition switch has been linked to 31 crashes and 12 deaths. It's been traced to vehicles made as long ago as 2001, and it was the subject of communications between GM and the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration as far back as 2007. But the automaker did not issue a recall of the vehicles until late January of this year. That's also the first time that CEO Mary Barra says she was made aware of the issue. Now, on Tuesday, Ms. Barra pledged that such an episode never happens again and took, quote, full responsibility for the work going forward, unquote. In the meantime, General Motors has been named in at least four lawsuits involving the defect, and congressional lawmakers are planning an inquiry to review some of the latest developments. We welcome Detroit Free Press reporter Alisa Priddle, who's been writing about the episode. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
You wrote that CEO Mary Barra wants to usher in a new era of quick response and accountability on her watch. How serious an acknowledgement of major problems in GM was that comment?
Well, I think it was a major problem. When we met with her on Tuesday, this was the first time that she sat down with media for us to pass on to the public, I think, some of her frank answers to a lot of the questions around this. But by then, that was about the fourth time that she had apologized in some respect. She had done it in a video to employees. She'd done it in a number of ways. So, you know, I do feel that this is a top priority for her. I mean, this is in keeping with her management style. If she wants a company that's more transparent and reactive to consumers, I don't think she thought that the first thing on her desk would be doing it in the context of a recall that's had all this tragic results.
It is a baptism under fire, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. And this is a woman who, you know, because she is the first female CEO of a major automaker, there has been all kinds of eyes on her anyway to see how will she manage, how will she adapt culture, how will she get along with the rest of her team. And so certainly then add to that a very high-profile recall. She is definitely being scrutinized for every move that she makes.
Is it at all clear at this point how this happened? And what Ms. Barra will need to do to be sure this never happens again?
Well, we also were talking to Mark Royce, who is the product chief. And then one of the questions was, you know, how is it possible that the CEO didn't know about this until last year, particularly since both Mary Barra and Mark Royce have come up through the product development ranks and have probably been in a number of positions through their careers as they advance to touch this. One of the things Royce said was that, well, first off, when there is an idea that there's a problem, there's a technical team that then starts delving into data to see if there's a problem. And so you don't tell the CEO every time you're investigating something. You have to let them do their work. So that's one of their stances. But the other, I mean, I think we are all slightly baffled that there could be records of a potential problem going back so far, all the way to when they were engineering the Saturn Ion back in 2001, and there were indications on the engineering side that there might be a problem with this ignition switch. And for those who just need a recap of what the problem is, they're saying that, you know, when you put your key in the ignition and it's in the on position with a heavy laden keychain, it can sometimes slip down, maybe if you hit, especially if you get jostled on a pothole or something, and it can slip into the accessory mode. And once that happens, then you can lose your power steering, and in the event of a crash, your airbags aren't going to go off. And that's what the problem is. And so there seemed to have been some indication that maybe that it wasn't a robust switch in the first place, but it's gone through all of these years, and so many vehicles. You have to remember something like the Chevy Cobalt, hugely popular small car because it was affordable entry-level car. and all of its kind of stable mates that were, you know, that size of vehicle from GM. So tons of them on the road, kind of, I guess, a low-key thing, you think of your ignition, but for whatever reason, the occasional problems people were reporting with these, it didn't somehow add up to that there was a series of events that could have these tragic results, and it was something that was repeatable, that, more people were going to die because of this.
Right. We'll also point out that, I mean, Mary Barra has also maintained that the cars that are being recalled work normally when there is nothing else on the key, when all you do is use the key itself and there's nothing else exerting pressure pulling it down. We'll also point out that none of the vehicles being recalled are still in production. Alisa, will the investigations then, will they focus on who knew what when? Is it going to play out that way?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is, because there is sort of a paper trail of, you know, different people from different places noticing a problem. So they want to pinpoint at what point should, you know, both the government safety machine and the automakers, I mean, you know, you have to put some onus on both sides, but at what point should all of these smart minds in these different places have realized this is something that has to be addressed with, you know, with an action, with a recall, with a fix? You know, this can't be a piecemeal thing at all. And it's particularly poignant right now because yesterday we got the news about Toyota getting that $1.2 billion penalty.
Yes.
Because they did not take the proper steps and take seriously enough safety concerns. So it is top of mind in this country right now that you do not err on the side of not alerting people to safety issues.
Did we learn anything that may impact GM from the Toyota fine?
Well, we learned that there can be very, very harsh penalties, that there is no tolerance right now for knowing information and not passing it on, or for in any way trying to deceive the public or the government agencies that are acting on the public's behalf. Toyota was slapped very, very hard on the wrist. And even when Toyota was even called into congressional hearings back in the 2009-2010 timeframe when its recalls were going on, even that sent a chill through the auto industry. And we started to see automakers announcing recalls for everything possible. It was really a period of when in doubt, issue a recall or some kind of service notice, because nobody wanted to be seen as erring on the wrong side of caution.
Mm-hmm.
And then this just brings it home one more time and shows that there is a huge penalty to be paid, and there's zero tolerance for this kind of activity. And so GM's got to be looking at this saying, okay, this could be expensive, this could be, you know, brand shattering, this could be a lack of public trust. All of these things can happen.
We're talking with Alisa Priddle of the Detroit Free Press about the GM vehicle recall and the aftermath of its delayed recall of its various defective vehicles. Clarify for us again, though, Alisa, when does Mary Barra claim to have found out about the defect?
She says that she found out in late December that there was a problem with ignition switches, and that she got a call from Mark Royce, I think around January 31st, that the teams were going to order a recall. So that's very, very recent.
Okay. Now, in her remarks on Tuesday, you wrote that CEO Barra stopped short of accepting responsibility for accidents and deaths that occurred before GM emerged from bankruptcy in 2009. Put that in a little bit more context for us, please. What makes the bankruptcy relevant here?
The reason it's relevant is that oftentimes what happens in bankruptcy, the whole point of bankruptcy is to shed liability. And in the case of the automakers, if you may recall, there were terms like old GM and new GM. And what they said was that GM went into bankruptcy, and at the time it had pending lawsuits on all kinds of fronts, everything from a slip and fall to probably an ignition switch related accident. Of course, that was before the recall, so they weren't aware, you know, of this whole chain of events. But either way, there were all these liabilities. And what happened is that coming out of bankruptcy, a new GM, a new entity was formed, but it didn't bring with it a lot of what they call their bad assets. And so it meant they were sort of free of all of those past liabilities. And so going forward, Mary is saying, you know, we want to do right by our customers and you know, we're going to look after everyone. But these old liabilities, you know, there's an immunity shield there that we are not responsible for those. And there is a call by some to say you should be looking after these victims. And there are some lawsuits about to be filed that are going to say, we now see documentation that you knew that there was a problem as far back as 2001. So how can you not bring the liability for crashes because of that forward? And she is saying at this point, we are not going to bring that liability forward. I also asked her if she was going to put together some kind of a victims fund or something for these people. And she said at this point, no. I asked her if she was even considering it. And again, she's saying all she said was we will do right by our customers, which maybe we can read into it that she is going to consider some kind of victims fund going forward, or maybe she's just going to stand behind the law that says this is not new GM's responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Now, CEO Barra says she expects to testify before Congress about this. Have you learned anything so far today as to when that might start?
This week, there were supposed to be meetings between congressional staff and GM staff, and so she thought that by the end of this week, they would have a better idea of the dates, but her best guess is probably maybe the first week of April. And when we asked her, did she expect to testify, she said she fully expects that she will be called to testify. She will be the face of GM on this. You know, there will likely be other people, but she fully expects to be there on the stand and take the questions on what happened.
One final question here, Alisa. What role did federal regulators play in this, if that's at all clear? Is there anything to suggest that federal regulators dropped the ball here as well?
Well, I think so, because the documentation shows that they alerted GM to a potential problem back in 2007. So that is 7 years ago. So and they are the ones who are the gatherers of the complaints, and they're the ones who, when complaints reach a critical mass, or you know, or even there's just a few of them, but it's deemed so serious that people need to act, that's their job to say to the automaker, because the automaker isn't always the one that gets the complaints and hears about all of the problems. Sometimes people just go through the safety side. So I do think that some responsibility falls on NHTSA to have pressed it further. I don't think that all the blame should fall just on GM. I think they share it.
We want to thank Detroit Free Press reporter Alisa Priddle, who's been writing about the the botched GM recall. Alisa, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you so much.